Sports Saturday with Joe Fisher and Rashad Taylor.
A three wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off.
Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
There will be a humongous party in Corvallis tonight. The Beavers spring a trap and shock the college football world.
105-1.
Ducks rush only three. Winston has all day. Tries to escape. Circles back. Still alive.
And 1080.
Loses the football. Ball comes out. It's scooped up by the Ducks. Streaking to the end zone.
The Fan.
Get out the way.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on 1080. Wait, no, 105.1, the Fan Global Sports Network.
Yeah, it's going to take some time.
Smooth.
Yeah, right? That's a great way to start.
I'm confused. I'm flustered. I don't know what to do here. My headset cord is all jumbled up. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Today's starting weird. Like, for whatever reason, the charger that's worked literally every single week all of a sudden doesn't charge my phone. Trying to figure out what that's all about. But, hey, man, it's Saturday.
Yeah, it is Saturday. For those of you who do not know us because you have not listened to our show, Sports Sunday, and boy, we really had to work hard on the name of this show.
Man, they really workshopped that, didn't they?
Yeah, we did. We had a lot of focus groups, P1s of the Fan come in for meetings, countless meetings. We were behind the scenes working on it, and of all the things that we had on the table, we came up with Sports Saturday.
I mean, it has a ring to it. I mean, it's two S's, I suppose.
Hey, it's a show on Saturday, and it's about sports. What do we call this thing?
I mean, hey. Yeah, I mean, I guess it works, you know. I mean, great job. Great job, Ups.
Well, I am Joe Fisher. Across the faux marble table is Rashad Taylor.
Taurus.
And across the glass with us actually today is not Jordan Schultz. Jordan Schultz is usually our everyday producer, but he is out doing anniversary things with his wife.
That is right. He had some responsibilities today.
So today we have Jeff effing Rust with us. What is up, dude?
The one and only.
How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Probably better than you. You have had quite the week.
I'm not the only one. Many of us around here have had quite the week.
Russ,
yes, we've all been kind of burning the candle at both
but
ends.
You're the real MVP, Russ. Like, you've really been all over the place.
I came into that studio yesterday to get the show open and the elements in there, and I could tell Russ was just done with this week. He was at his wit's end.
Yeah, pretty much.
He was going through it.
Yesterday afternoon at about 3:30 after I finished all the podcasting and stuff, that was a nice big exhale.
Yes, and inhale of the dube at home probably afterwards.
Yeah, more than likely, man. Well deserved. Yeah, you know, in that right.
Yeah, no, but we're Sports Saturday. Again, if you have not heard of our names or heard our voices before, Rashad and I, we've been over on Sunday. Rashad longer than me. Rashad for 10 years.
11
Sports Sunday. 11 years.
Yeah,
don't sell him short.
Yeah, don't do that. Give me all my flowers, bro.
I jumped on Sundays back in 2020 as a producer, and then once Mike Lynch went on to do bigger and better things, jumped over onto the host side of things. So we had been rocking on Sundays for the last couple of years, and then with this move and everything over to FM and the lineup change and a bunch of other decisions behind the scenes, we're like, hey, let's throw the guys on Saturday morning. And so here we are, Sports Saturday going forward. Rashad and I got you covered leading into Ducks games in the fall once we get to that point in the season.
Always a good time.
Yes, yes. Dude, I'm getting so excited for football. It's one of those where it's like, yes, it can start tomorrow and we want it, but it's also like the slow burn of like, we still have 6 weeks and slowly started to pay attention to like teams and rosters and who's where, who transferred to what school, what free agent went where. It's like every day I'm reading something new and looking something up, and I'm just like, oh my God, please.
Well, we're right there. Like, I mean, it's literally right around the corner. You know, we're talking a Hall of Fame game. Is it in a couple days?
Yes, I believe it's on the 31st.
Yeah, 31st. So the Hall of Fame game is like Thursday. or something like that. So we are right in the midst of football starting and really preseason starting, which I understand none of us are crazy about preseason. But it is a sign to let us know that here we go. Things are gearing up. We can really start talking football. Fantasy leagues are starting to be had and held and everything like that. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's a small signal that the football season, the holidays are about to begin.
You just reminded me that I have to set up my fantasy draft big board because I will be going out of town the weekend of my draft and will have no service. So I literally feel like, and this is going to be my first forte into fantasy football in maybe like 5-6 years. I'm on a hiatus and I'm getting back into it, but I need to literally set up my big board like 1 through 150. So that way when I auto pick, it's the players in the order that I want it.
I got to be honest, man. After years of fantasy football, I'm cool.
Like
I don't want to play anymore. Here's the cold part. Like
you're hanging up the keyboard.
Here's what fantasy football has done for me. I'm not a red zone guy. I will watch it, especially if I'm with friends who like want to watch red zone, everything. Okay, cool. I get it. But that's not how I want to enjoy football. And watching red zone, you don't get a chance to see the whole story. Right. You only see like big plays in some occasions. So I really like to be able to sit down and really dissect a game. And this way I kind of know what I'm talking about. So I don't really want to watch or want to do fantasy only because, like, let's say I'm in two leagues and in one of my leagues,
the classic cheering for a player and also being pissed that he scored at the
same
time.
Man, it's like, yeah, that's crazy. Or if I'm literally rooting for my team. I am a Patriots fan, for those of you who didn't know. So I'm rooting for my team to win, but they might have Stephon Diggs. The guy I'm playing against has Stephon Diggs. So yes, we score, but damn it. Like he got, so it's
yes!
Like, I'm always conflicted and I don't get to enjoy the game. Like I'm hoping somebody gets another 4 points and then I'll be good and I'll win this. And he gets just another 13 points and I'll be okay. And the game will be over. And it's like, I don't want it. That's not enjoyable for me to watch the game. I just want to watch it and kind of enjoy it and playing fantasy sometimes takes that ability away from me. So I think this year I'm going to hang it up. And then I'll be honest, after like week six, I don't really care anymore. Seriously, I'm not changing rosters. I forgot dudes had bye weeks. It's one of those things. Oh man, this dude's been hurt for 4 weeks. Has he? Whoops.
I think it's just you giving up.
No,
at that point you're probably like 1-5 or 1-4, and you're just like, you know what? Yeah, there's no point.
And on top of that, I just forget. You know, honestly, the Thursday game, I always like forget to change the roster, and so I leave somebody out, and that ironically, that dude has 50 points that game. And I left him on the bench. And so I just always kind of forget. So I'm like, I'm cool. Never mind.
What broke me in fantasy football a few years ago was my team was great. Like I was first or second in the league in points scored. But I also was first in the league in points against. And so I was playing everybody when they were having the best week of their life.
Yes. And probably losing every game by like a point.
My
two
defense
points.
was leaking like a sieve, allowing all these points. It was unacceptable. And that broke me. That was one of those where I was like, I can't do anything about this. I can field the best team possible, but I can't prevent someone having the best week of their season against me week in and week out. It happened every single week, and I was done. I was broken by that.
That also, I'll be honest, that kind of played into why I'm done this year is because, again, I had a great roster. My draft, when we had the draft, I had the third overall best draft of like 12 guys. So So it was great, right? And then all of a sudden go out and just the team was just trash. Just trash. And so it was like, man, this is weak. So had a great squad. Didn't really matter. Had a couple great quarterbacks, all that stuff. Didn't really matter. So, man, I'm stressing myself. And I lost money doing it. Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Nah, I'm cool. Like I'm gonna go ahead and just say the nay no on fantasy this year.
Oh, Pootie Tang reference.
Sadate. What a great film.
Pootie Tang? I mean
Pootie Tang is super dumb. Let's start there.
It's a film.
But in a good way. Like this is a terrible movie, but it is super funny with a lot of little quotables in there.
Most of them
aren't even words. Wada ta, my Damie. But you know what I mean, you know? You get it.
I feel like I need to get some clips of just Bob Costas from that show.
That was awesome.
One scene where he's talking to Pootie Tang.
When he's doing,
what the hell did you just say? Oh, comb me down on the panty side. Okay. All right.
I remember Pootie Tang from the Chris Rock show is where that first kind of debuted. Yeah, Chris Rock had a whole like talk show slash sketch comedy thing that he did on HBO for a long time. And Pootie Tang is the first time I saw that. And so that whole Bob Costas bit at the end, we're like, what the hell are you talking about? Actually was a thing he and Chris Rock did on the show years before that. So,
well, I'm going to fill in.
Shout out to Pootie.
I'm going to fill in one of our listeners. He says, so no Sunday show anymore. Is that what I'm hearing? Yes. Sundays have gone away. No more Sundays. Rashad reluctantly sighs and shakes his head over there.
Man,
like, you loved the Sunday sod.
You
heard this news, I couldn't believe how attached you were to Sundays.
Hey, man, listen.
I was like, oh, my God.
Sundays are where
it's one important. Day.
It is one day, but I mean, it was Sunday, though.
It was my day, though.
It was, yeah, that, you know, it was kind of the thing. Like, so, yeah, I'm a creature of habit. So, doing stuff the same way over and over again, you know, so... Yeah, the move was a bit of a surprise, but you know, thinking about it, Saturdays are always cool though. Like, I mean, but Sundays, for whatever reason, I'm always up early, so it never really bothered me that we had to be at the station. Especially, we used to start sports Sunday at that point at like 8 a.m., and then we decided to change that because super dumb.
Who shows up for a show at 8 a.m. on a weekend?
Even worse, yeah, right? That's
oh, what's
craziness.
Up? Swag,
oh,
right, Swag's right here? The oh, there.
Our
oh.
ball. Hey, our hey, fault. Swag. Hey, boss. How you doing, buddy? So, it was one of those things. And coming to prep, it, like, this shout out to Dirt and Sprague, number one. I've done Dirt and Sprague before. You've hosted Dirt and Sprague before. Yeah. That 6 a.m. start time is a beast. And if we're coming to like prep or anything before, or just kind of showing up just a little bit before, that means you're getting here at 5 o'clock, 5:15, maybe a little bit before that. Like,
I mean, who would host or produce a show on weekdays at 6 a.m.?
Oh, hey, Swag. I'm sorry. He's still here.
God, oh, go home. What are you doing? Don't you have golf to play? What the hell?
Swag,
get out of here.
Yeah, Swag has a Murphy bed somewhere in the studio. I guarantee it.
Like, dude, after this week, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, you know what? Let's just put in a bed.
I'm almost for sure Russ slept here. On the couch, on one of the big yellow couch.
Thought about it.
Yeah.
Dude, it was quite the week. Shout out to everybody that actually, you know, had bigger fish to fry when it comes to this move. I mean,
and also
Russ, Swag, Buckley,
100%,
and then all the show hosts Monday through Friday, hyping it up, the move over to FM and the new schedule. Shout out to Boss Man Cooley and Brand Man Dusty Hera.
Absolutely.
And shout out to a phenomenal sales staff for what they've done over the years.
There's one or two
station,
you guys, I mean, that's pretty good, right?
I know Luke's really been kicking ass, hasn't
man,
he?
That Kurt, man, has been killing, bro. So
Kurt wasn't even here yesterday.
Yeah.
Don't give him kudos.
Man, also, I got to say this, man. I have to say this. So I'm here at the station because of Hunt for the Host back 11 years ago.
Yes.
And two of my buddies, two of my Hunt for the Host brethren, got their opportunity to really be on-air talent throughout the week, man. And that's one, Patrick Harris. Shout out to my guy, Patrick. And also, man, shout out to my guy, Luke Anderson. Like, I know how hard those guys have grinded to be able to kind of... It's a tough, man. Everybody wants one of those slots. Like, it's a tough gig to get, and both of those guys really... really deserve it. So I'm super proud of them, man. Like, we were only supposed to be here for a year. I don't know if people know that. Like, this is year 11 for me. Like, that contract thing was for 1 year for each of us. And so here we are. And so I'm proud of my guys, and I'm proud of the new lineup, man. It looks awesome. And this is going to be a great, great go of it on 105, the fan.
Yes. 105.1, the fan, 1080, the fan, the Odyssey app, YouTube and Twitch. Me and Patrick got major beef.
You left you high and dry, though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it did kind of feel nice Tuesday night not to have to do anything and just go home. Not going to lie, that was a nice change of pace. But
do y'all ever think about, man, I'm just going to crash here at the station. I'm not going. I don't know. Russ, where do you live?
Like, Bethany, near Tannisbourne,
okay.
Basically.
Not, okay. So, yeah. Close-ish in comparison to some of these guys, like this guy.
Yeah,
and like
Joe and
Jordan.
Danny that, yeah, live in
Newburgh. The boondocks for no reason.
Hey. Newburgh's a great American town, okay? Got the old-fashioned festival weekend, or this weekend. Big old fireworks and food and fair stuff and rides that are probably very suspect that you probably shouldn't get on.
I don't get on those rides.
I don't know if they've been maintained.
I always tell my son, when we go to the carnival or something like that, yeah, you're not getting on that. You're not getting on any of these rides. Just, I'm sorry. Things that you can just... assemble and then disassemble within like a couple of days. Like, yeah. I'm not good with. Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
I don't have a death wish.
Yeah, no, seriously. This big ass roller coaster just came out of nowhere 3 days ago, built by these high school kids. And I'm supposed to be like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well, I'd rather just a traveling crew with small hands and they smell like cabbage.
No, thank you. We are all good, man.
All right. You ready to sports it up?
Sports.
Yeah, I mean, we are in the dog days of summer. So as we get closer to football season,
going to have a better day to debut a show on Saturday. Just so many sports things going on.
Nothing's happening. I do want to get into a couple things locally here to start the show. We also had the NFLPA. They're going through a whole lot of legal issues, which isn't fun. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the NFLPA and their team grades. Every year they have the team report cards of like, what are their facilities? What grade do you give them? What is it like for family members? What is the food like? What does the nutrition look like? What are the facilities for the players like? And every team gets a grade in all these categories. And I like going over those to see like how these teams fare out on this side according to the players versus like their on-field success, and also just making fun of teams that got really bad grades as well. I think that would be fun.
I think that's fun. It's always fun to make fun of people.
And then I feel like we need to start previewing some divisions, man. We're
at that time.
It's yeah.
We're at that time.
So I feel like that we would start with the two divisions that people care about the least in the NFL, the South, AFC South and NFC South. But first, I want to get to something that happened last night and damn it, needs to happen here soon. We get that here next Sports Saturday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor right here on 105.1 The Fan and 1080 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. A
masterpiece.
That's right. Sports Saturday. Joe Fisher, the third. Rashad Taylor,
the first.
Senior. And Jeffrey Rust rolling with us today. Jordan Schultz not in because he is, I don't know if today is or yesterday or what, but he's doing anniversary stuff with his wife.
And this fool was talking about, I'm not sure if I'm going to be here. I have some anniversary stuff. Man, bro, if you don't, man, get out of here, man. What are you talking about? You're not going to get us in trouble or, you know, make your wife look crazy at us because you want to come in for your show on Saturday. Get out of here.
Dude, I just, God, I really want to be there for the inaugural episode of the Sports Saturday show in the 24th largest media market.
Can't miss it, right?
Yeah, my God. What will I do? My career will be forever changed if I do not show up to that one show.
Man, you better go spend time with your wife on your anniversary, man. Don't get in trouble.
Joke's on him. We're winning an Emmy because of this show today.
He didn't know, right? He didn't know.
He comes back. It's like, dude, Jordan, that was the best show we have ever done.
We got so many calls and texts. Yeah, people want to put us on bigger stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan will lose it. Jordan will lose it.
So, yeah, he's out with his wife doing anniversary stuff. I don't know. But last night, Odyssey Portland, we were rolling deep at the Pickles game last night.
Shout out to the Pickles, man.
Yes, shout out to the Pickles. And I wanted to, I wasn't like planning on talking about Pickles or baseball too much today. There is one other baseball thing that will come up in the show. But whenever I go to a Pickles game, I'm just like... I'm there and I'm like, so I was like, has anybody from the MLB to Portland group brought MLB to a Pickles game and shown them that? Because the fact that those games are as packed for a collegiate wood bat league that has no affiliation to Major League Baseball at all. You're going to tell me that baseball wouldn't work here? That Major League Baseball wouldn't work here.
Listen, man.
Like the berm grass area in left field and right field along the foul line, completely full. People are, we had the hot corner, like VIP tent for Odyssey Portland. There are people that were sneaking into there that we've never seen before in our life. Like that's like, there's people all over the concourse. Bathroom lines, concession lines are super long. Like, every time I've gone to a Pickles game, it is packed to the gills. And I was talking to one of the guys that works there last night. And he's like, yeah, we're trying to figure out how we get more seating in here and trying to figure out how to expand it. And so part of me reluctantly, you know, says like, well, we can do that with the Pickles. Like, why can't we do that with an MLB team? But then that means that the Pickles would probably cease to exist.
Unfortunately. They'd be a casualty.
Yeah, what they've done is so unique that it's one of those like, it's almost hard to like put into words that It's not serious like an MLB franchise, right? Like where we need to win and have results in order to make this, you know, make sense and keep the fans happy and keep them coming. It's like for the Pickle Exam, people show up for Dill, for the promo nights, just for the fun atmosphere that has been laid there. And so, well, again, reluctantly, I'm like, if we can do this, we can definitely do an MLB team. But part of me is like, well, maybe just keep our pickles, man. Keep our little pickles. Well, keep our gherkins out there.
I think there's a way to do both. You know, I think the pickles would have to be incredibly strategic about looking at the major league schedule if it was in Portland and then saying, let's not have games on these days. Let's make sure we kind of schedule games for, because it is a different experience. And if you've ever been to a double A game or like a triple A game or something like that, like the environment there is just different than at a major league ballpark, right? It almost kind of, you're almost there for all the antics and everything that's happening around the game and not necessarily the game. The Pickles games are just fun. Like, yes. I mean, if you've seen them on TV, like the Savannah Banana games are just fun. You know, it's just kind of, it's a different baseball fun kind of vibe. And it's something for families. It's something you can do for hella cheap. You know, like if you have a date or if you have kids or if you have something like that and you just want to be outside, like the Pickles games are a great opportunity to do that. I do think they can coexist with a major league team. And I just think they have to be more strategic about when they kind of schedule their games. Because it is a very different market than it is a very different game, I will say, than the major league game. Obviously, yeah. There's not as many things around the game that are kind of going on to, you know, kind of give it that fun feel. But yeah, listen, I worked it, and I've said this before, for those of you who are just listening for the first time, remember PGE Park?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? Or Civic Stadium? Believe it or not,
still there.
Yeah. If you're Civic Stadium, you know, for me, I went to Grand High School, and that's where we played our football games for a long time. Was
go hit some old Portland Beavers games there.
And
back
that's
in
what
the
I was
day?
About to say. Those Beaver games, that was the best part of my summer. Seriously, from I want to say 17 till about 19, the Beavers games were so much fun.
And of course, a very famous moment there when what was the guy's name? I want to say Rodney McRae ran through the wall in the outfield.
Yes,
yeah,
catching the ball.
One of the more
iconic like sports clips and the highlights of all time.
So it's like, man, I remember that environment. I remember the feel of the games, just the beer garden, like everything. Like Portland loves baseball. Like, let's be 100%. Like, we don't have a baseball team, but they would flock to a baseball stadium here if it actually came. So, yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I'm not sure if they've actually ever taken any investors or anybody to, you know, a Pickles game or to a Hops game or something like that.
Now I'm envisioning, like, old white dudes in, like, full suits at a Pickles game. Like,
looking around,
like, I think this will do quite nicely here. Yes.
They've got huge hot dogs here.
Dude, those are made in a lab somehow. Well, I guess hot dogs
more than
are.
More likely, yeah.
Hot dogs are kind of already made in a lab.
I don't want a homemade hot dog either.
All made with lips and a-holes.
Yeah, we're good.
Do you remember the old The Great Outdoors movie?
I haven't seen Great Outdoors with John Candy
and Dan Aykroyd. Yeah.
Great movie.
I'm telling you, there were hot dogs there last night. I think it was like their all beef, you know, whatever dog. 10 inches and girthy. Like that was, and
whoa, mark that, Russ, please. Yeah. Thank you so much.
That would be a big fat wiener, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
it
would be. Jeez Louise.
Dude, I they are clearly overcompensating for something because the hot dogs they were having, I was like, you know what? I'll just take the German sausage. I think that will be just fine for me. There are people walking around with these. They were bigger than my forearm. It was.
Russ, mark that one as well, please.
Yeah. It was insane. I'd never seen a hot dog like that before in my life.
Did you eat it?
No.
Did you put it in your mouth?
No. And then Sue, because he was at the game too, he saw me come back with my German sausage, and he's like, what is that with your cowardly hot dog? And I'm like, I'm not eating a 2-pound hot dog.
I don't know. I just don't trust it. Like, one of the things
and
about
also,
hot dogs,
it made me, the hot dog was intimidating and made me question myself, and, you know, so.
Yeah, I understand. So you got the smaller German one, right?
Yeah, made me feel better about myself.
There you go. Listen, I'm going to be honest, man. I won't be shamed into enjoying a glizzy or enjoying a hot dog. I'm not going to do that. Listen, they are, that's an American as apple pie. I will absolutely have a great hot dog, man, a hot link or whatever.
I will gobble some glizzies for sure.
Put it between two buns and we got it, man. Absolutely, man. So I won't, like I said, I just made some bacon wrapped sausages the other day, all the onions and stuff on top of them. Man, they were awesome.
Well, you can
put them on the grill.
You can get rid of the onions, but
no, the onions, the peppers, all that jazz. Some fancy mustard. Like, let's go. Are you a mayo on your hot dog guy?
No, I mean, like, if someone prepares me a hot dog and mayo is on there, along with other condiments. I would not have like just mayo on the hot dog.
Putting mayo on the hot dog is crazy to me.
But if it's mayo, mustard, and ketchup, like, yeah, that's good. That's adds a little bit of sweetness to it. You know, I don't mind it. But if I'm making hot dogs at home, I am not putting mayonnaise on there. I'm just putting some ketchup and mustard, and we're good to go.
Yeah, there's no mayo on my wiener.
Yeah, no.
Hope not.
Yeah. The last night, and it did spur in the conversation last night of what condiments you put on your hot dog. And I'm trying to remember who last night said that I think it might have been the BTJ. She was there too. And she said that she goes hot dogs, no condiments.
Oh, gosh.
Just dog and bun.
That's, I mean, I don't want to say it's serial killer stuff, but I mean, that's like coffee black, no sugar, no cream. Like, ew, who wants that?
Dirt does it too.
Yuck.
I've seen Dirt do that. It was like a month or so ago. We were golfing over at Eastmoreland, and we hit the turn for some food and drinks, and he gets his hot dog, and the guy's like, oh, condiments are right over there. And Dirt goes, oh, no, thanks. I raw dog it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy work, Dirt. I got to be honest, man. Like, for me, man, it's mustard if they have it, and that could be fancy sauerkraut. Like, that will be absolutely fine, you know, hopefully. And I'm always going to defer to Costco is the greatest hot dog ever. Man, like, if I'm going to Costco, sometimes that was the only reason I would go. Yeah, I'll tag along with my wife to go to Costco just so I can get one of those delicious dogs. But, yeah, that's the only time I'll really go out and buy one. And then, for whatever reason, now, after every game, everywhere, there's somebody frying up some hot dogs after the Blazer game or after you leave the Pickles game.
Yeah, like, do they have permits for that?
Do you care?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Me either. Yeah. Make your money, man. I'm going to get one. Give me two. And then they told me they were $10. I was like, oh, just give me one then. Like, it's cool.
Well, Pickles put on another great show last night.
That's what they do, man. Get your family out to the Pickles games.
And it just makes me yearn for the day that we have MLB in Portland. And also that means that we wouldn't have to talk about the stupid Seattle Mariners anymore. So, I mean, that's a great point there.
Well, for right now.
Unless we have to talk about them. And, gosh, why aren't they good again? Why are they just underachieving yet again?
I mean, this is you get used to it. Once you live in this area, especially if you're a Mariners fan, I'm sorry, Mariners fans, but you just kind of get used to it. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe this is the year?
No. No.
I'm trying to be optimistic. I don't know, man. I know. I think we all know, but I mean, who doesn't want to be optimistic about the outlook?
Well, MLB to Portland, hopefully one day. Because then we would see cool things like what happened last night in one of the MLB games. I tell you what that is next here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Jeff Russ with the Sports Center update. 10 inches and girthy. That's right, Sports Saturday.
Get used to it.
Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. We are now your co-captains on this flight.
Let's go.
What's your Victor? Roger?
Who's Roger?
Who?
Yeah, who's Victor? I don't know those guys.
Just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you. Airplane? No?
I haven't seen Airplane in 30 years.
I was going to say, I'm glad the sentence kept going, because if you were going to say I had never seen Airplane, no, then that would have been a major
been a
problem.
Really, really long time.
This would be our first and probably last Sports Saturday show.
I don't know if that's true, but yeah.
I just, until he watches Airplane, I cannot do this show with Rashad Taylor anymore.
No, yeah. You know there's a new Naked Gun?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen the commercials. And
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about it all the way.
I'll watch it. Oh, anyway, I won't go to the theater for it, but I'll watch it.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Give it 2 weeks and it's on a streaming service.
Something has to be really special for me to go to the theater now.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's got to be, I'm not doing it for Jurassic Park anymore. They're not going to get any more of my money. I see what they're doing, man. No, that's not going to happen. I went to go see Sinners, the last movie that I saw in the theater. But outside of
that's on streaming services now, too.
It is. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
I started it, fell asleep.
It's on the agenda.
Yeah. It happens when you get old.
Yeah, it's on the agenda. It happens. You got to watch it mid-afternoon type right. thing. You know, if you watch it late night, you might end up falling asleep immediately.
Well, last night was a movie for one Nick Kurtz of the Athletics. Not the Oakland Athletics. No.
Not anymore, at least.
The Athletics. This dude for the Athletics, who I have never heard his name before in my life, went out and had 4 home runs in a single game.
Did the Al Bundy.
I repeat, he went out and had 4 home runs in a single game. One of actually the greatest individual performances in MLB history. 6 for 6, 4 home runs, 6 runs scored, 8 RBIs, 22-year-old rookie.
Jeez.
I believe they said he also tied a major league record with 19 total bases.
Right. Yeah. That is correct. Yeah. That is so dominant. Like, 4 home run games, I believe this is the 20th that's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. So, a sport with 162 games that's been played over 100 plus years, and something that's only happened 20 times. Like,
it's impressive.
Yes. And it just had me thinking, like, of other times in sports that we watched someone that was just dominating the entire game. Because, again, he went 6 for 6. It wasn't like he went 4 for 6 with the 4 home run. Like, he was locked
every
in.
Every time I was up.
The entire time.
I'm making contact, and most of them are getting knocked out of the park.
Single, home run, double, home run, home run, home run. That was his stat line, or each one of his at-bats. And so, yeah, I was just trying to think, like, for myself, and curious for you, Rashad, and you, Jeff Russ, and any of our listeners out there, you can actually text into the program, 503-864-6326. The most dominant performances you ever saw live and in person, and it doesn't have to be an NBA Finals game or Super Bowl or, you know.
Wait, I had to be there?
No, just that you even watch live on TV. Okay. Yeah, it did not have to be there live and in person, but I just remember one distinctly. The first one that came up to my mind was, and I thought it was his first game as a Denver Bronco, it was the first game of his second season. But when Peyton Manning, the first game of the year, his second season with Denver, threw 7 touchdowns, and I believe it was on Sunday Night Football, and I think at least 2 of those went to former Portland State Viking Julius Thomas. Mm-hmm. So shout out Vikes, blow the horn. That, to me, like, sitting there and watching that game in full and seeing him just go off like that, when other people in the room around you don't care about sports or don't know what's going on as far as the storylines and have heard of Peyton Manning, oh yeah, he's a pretty good quarterback, isn't it? And they're even sitting there in awe at someone throwing 7 touchdown passes, no interceptions, just locked in and being able to do whatever they want. That was one performance that popped into my mind as far as the most dominant single game performances.
Who were they
I've
playing that game?
I just had it up here. Let me, I can find out for you.
No,
I thought it was like the Steelers or something like that, but that was Baltimore. They were playing Baltimore so on a, it was a defense. Sunday night game.
Yeah, against a good defense in Baltimore and everything. So
27 for 42, 462 yards, 7 touchdowns, no picks.
And that was a Baltimore team that I think had just come off of a Super Bowl win at that point.
I believe, yeah, I think so. And so because they had beat the Broncos the year before in the playoffs. I think that was the Joe Flacco, Jacoby Jones, last-minute touchdown to beat the Broncos to advance. And so that's probably why they put him on Sunday night to start the season the following year.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, man. For me, the first game that came up immediately was really Kobe's 81. So I remember I was living in Las Vegas at the time, and I remember being kind of asleep in my grandparents' house, and I hear my grandmother, she and my grandfather, my entire family, they're from Compton, California. So they're huge Laker fans. And so I hear my grandmother just really going off, and I'm just kind of asleep because she loves Kobe and everything. And then I hear my mom going off too, and I'm like, man, what's going on? And come out there, and like, Kobe's got like 50-something. I'm like, oh, shoot, okay. So I keep watching the game. And this fool just didn't miss. Like, everything he did, like, pump fake lay-in. And it was all so smooth and so easy and all the things he was doing. And then just to watch him hit 81 from the line was like, yo, I just saw somebody get 81 points in a basketball game. Like, that's insane. And Kobe's big thing over his career, and he'll get knocked for it, is like he wasn't very efficient. Like that'll be the big knock on Kobe for a lot of people, is the fact that he wasn't efficient. You'll never hear me say that, but whatever. But that game, everything he did was just like just effortless. And so that's one of the things you talk about, dominant performances. Like we've never seen anybody score anything like that. So to watch it in real time was like, and they were losing that game. That's the part people don't really say. Like they were losing that game going into the second half. And then he came out and just completely destroyed Toronto after that. That was crazy.
Jeff Russ, do you have a single game performance that you recall that was just like, this dude is just on another level above everybody else on the field and just, again, can do whatever he wants?
The first thing that popped to my mind, it wasn't an individual performance, it was a team performance. But I remember when I was a kid, and I don't think the game was actually even on TV, I was just listening on the radio, but the Blazers putting up, I think, 48 points in the first quarter against the Spurs. They couldn't miss.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I was a kid, probably junior high or something, maybe high school. But yeah, that's just 48 points. I think they led like 48-20 after the first quarter or something. And they went on to continue to pace the Spurs that night.
But the four home runs, dude, like we have seen plenty of three home run games. And then, you know, someone on the text line even brought up, I remember when Mike Cameron of the Mariners had four home runs. That is insane.
Was it Cameron? I know hard-hitting Mark Whitten did it.
Like, I thought it was Mike Cameron. Yeah.
We got to think about, and honestly, like, hitting a baseball, in my opinion, is the hardest thing in sports to do. Like, I mean, I understand having a great golf swing and being able to, you know, sink a hole-in-one from, you know, 1,000 yards away or whatever the case is, who cares? But it's just kind of one of those things. To be able to hit a major league baseball is hard enough. Be able to hit four home runs in a single game, like, that's crazy. And honestly, there's a lot, you know, luck is on your side. You're feeling great. Like,
do you quit baseball at that point?
That's as good as it gets. Like, you'll probably never have another game as good. You said 19 total runs?
19 total bases. Yeah.
19 total bases. Four home runs. You go 6 for 6, a hit every single time up. Like, now it sucks for him, for this rookie, because now people think that this is supposed to be the norm for him.
Well, I would hope not.
No, but for real. Like, people think, no, you had this great game. I remember when T-Mac remember that year he played for the Knicks and he was kind of banged up and everything like that. But he had his first game with the Knicks and had like 40. And everybody was like, oh, T-Mac is back. This is what he's going to get. And then after that, he 7-7-2-4, didn't score, DNP, like a whole bunch of those things. Hopefully this isn't the trajectory for this young man. Hopefully this is something we see. It's not Linsanity to where he does it for 4 weeks and right. Then we don't see it anymore. Hopefully this is something he can sustain for a career.
Did we know that this is the second four home run game this season?
This season?
Yes.
This is his?
No, not his.
Oh, I was about to say,
the second four home run game in Major League Baseball this season.
Who the hell did it earlier this year?
Eugenio Suarez in April.
That's right. He did.
Man.
In a losing effort to the Braves.
Shows how much I deserved a baseball show. I don't even remember. Now, here's the cold part.
I think they said, too, I was on my way in this morning, I was listening to ESPN radio, and I believe they said when Suarez did it, I think it was during the NFL draft. So that's probably why nobody noticed.
Nobody cared, okay.
But yeah, you're 100% right. He definitely, I am now recalling earlier this year when that happened.
Here's what I love about baseball.
So we've had two of the 20 in one season?
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Damn.
Here's the great thing about baseball, man. Like, It's a team individual sport. So your team can be ass, but if you're great, like you can still, you know, get some Golden Gloves, some Cy Youngs, like you can still get all the awards and everything, like even if your team is trash. You can still relish in the fact that you hit four home runs in a losing effort because it's four home runs. Like if Kobe had that 81 and they lost, like it would be, I mean, cool, he got 81, but the narrative would be, well, Kobe's a chucker. Of course he got 81. You know what I mean? If he did that in a loss, but the fact that they won is like, but in baseball, if Peyton Manning had lost that game where he had 7 touchdowns, they'd be like, yeah, he's 7 touchdowns, but he lost. That's typical Peyton Manning. That would have been the story for whatever, but not in baseball. You can have a game where you go into the eighth inning with a no-hitter and then lose and still be considered, man, having a great game.
Somewhere I read that, like you mentioned, like a single game performance, but still ended up in a loss. Someone said game one for LeBron in the 2018 NBA Finals, the J.R. Smith game.
Yeah, yeah, man, amazing, you know, and so it happens sometimes.
But I remember that game very much. He was just, oh my God, he was just doing whatever he wanted. So someone on the text line also brought up that he was a couple feet away from five home runs last night. And I'm looking at the highlights right now. His double that he hit, it hits literally 5 feet, maybe even less, below the yellow line of the home run fence. So he was that close to having the first ever five home run game.
I think I saw a graphic. It listed like six different MLB parks where that
would have been,
where that would have been a home run.
Dude, so close. So
that's
close.
Also the thing for me that sucks about baseball is that every park isn't created equal. So what would have been a home run at Fenway, you know, not so much, you know, for the Mariners. So that's the part that like kind of sucks for me. I don't like that. I don't love that.
All right, we are way up against it in typical Fan Sports Network fashion. So we take a break, come back, and wrap up hour one here on Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan. So we were talking about best single game performances inspired by Nick Kurtz of the Athletics last night, hitting four home runs. And Rashad brought up a great one that I do remember watching this one live as well. Because I want to say this was a primetime game as well. I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah, I want to say Sunday or Monday night game. It was one of those two.
The Patriots versus the Titans in the snow during the Randy Moss year that he was with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And the Patriots just absolutely destroyed the Titans, 59-0. Like, there are so many different little stat lines and things you can look at this game that just, again, point to how dominant of a game and victory it was, not just for the Patriots, but again, like Tom Brady in the snow, 29 for 34, six touchdowns, 380 yards. I mean, hell, even Brian Hoyer got some run and he went 9 for 11 for 52. For the Titans, Kerry Collins went 2 for 12, negative 7 yards. Vince Young went 0 for 2. Like, it was combined passing, the Patriots 38 for 45, six touchdowns, 426 yards. For the Titans, 2 for 14, negative 7 yards with two picks. Wes Welker, 10 catches, 150. Randy Moss, 8 catches for 129. He had three touchdowns. Kevin Falk, remember him? I know you do.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean, that game goes down as one of the biggest just ass beatings of all time in any sport.
Oh, man. And mind you, that was the third year of the Randy Moss Tom Brady kind of whole thing. My first year they went undefeated ish, you know, they lost in the Super Bowl. The second year they Brady got hurt game one of the season or something like that. Like first couple plays, Brady went out for the season. And so this is the third year
The Matt Cassel season.
Yeah, the Matt Cassel season. And so this is the third year of that project. And so it should be noted, the Titans were terrible. The Titans were already 0-5 going into that game. Like, they weren't expected to do anything. And, man, Tom Brady and Randy Moss, just it was all deep balls the entire time. Man, just goes, flies, whatever you want to call them. That's all they were doing the entire time. And Randy Moss is my favorite receiver of all time, my favorite football player of all time. Just his stride and the things that he could do once he got there, and he could jump out of the stadium. Like, Randy Moss was a cheat code in anything. He, Michael Vick, are the greatest Madden characters of all time because there's nothing you can do about them. You throw them the ball or you give them the ball and it's a wrap. So, yeah, I remember that game in the snow and they killed them like 56-0, 57-0.
Yeah, 59-0.
Yeah, it was crazy. That's not even like – there should be like a mercy rule in football, in sports. Like, all right, man, like – y'all got us. It's the third quarter and you guys are seriously.
We're good here.
It's 44, 46. Like, listen, we can go ahead and wave the white flag at this point. We don't need to finish this game.
Well, it just honestly, the most eye opening thing looking at that box score is the passing aspect of it. Like, in a snowy game like that, one team was both quarterbacks, the starter and the backup, were both able to complete passes and move the ball downfield. And the other team was completely inept at being able to do so.
And more than that, you had two guys on a team that had over 120 yards receiving. That's the crazy part. Like, usually you have one receiver that did an amazing job, and another one that probably did a serviceable job, maybe not over 100 yards, or probably got a nice 75 to 80 yards, which is awesome as a receiver. You know, you get that many yards a game, and that's great. So to have Wes Welker have 150 yards and two touchdowns, and then Randy Moss have 129 and three touchdowns, like off of eight catches for Randy Moss. Like, They were mixtaping those fools out there. Like it was fun to watch because I'm a Patriots fan, but I can imagine if you hated the Patriots, you were super pissed off watching that.
That was one of those. I feel like I've had this happen at different points in my life where like there are teams that I absolutely hated because they are winning and they're successful, but then they just did something, whether it was over a game or a series, where I was just like, I can't even hate anymore.
You guys
are just that much better than everybody else out there.
That's how I felt for a long time about watching the Warriors. You know, at first it was irritating.
See, that never happened for me. I still hate the Warriors.
Watching Steph dance and stuff like that is like, bro, pack these dudes up. I can't stand the Warriors. But then you watch like how effortless it is sometimes for Steph, and it's like, man, I can't even be mad at that. Or watching Patrick Mahomes and watching him like do a behind the back pass or some type of weird shovel and be like, damn it, bro. Like, I want to hate you, but I can't. You're so cold.
It happened with the Spurs in that the finals against the Heat where they won. I believe it was 4-1.
The second year.
Yeah, ran them out of the building. Yeah, exactly. That was one where I was just like, dude, I can't. I hated the Spurs. But after that series, it was one of those where I was like, I can't anymore.
See,
I was like, they are just fundamentally better than everyone at basketball.
Yeah, Tim Duncan is one of my two favorite players of all time, so I would always root for him to do well. But yeah, I remember because, mind you, the year prior to that, the Spurs lost, and Tim Duncan's only blemish, Greg Popovich's only blemish, is LeBron James and that Heat team, you know, from 2013, I think, that got them. And so the next year, yeah, they boat raced them. You're not going to beat us twice.
On the text line, someone brings up Connor Holiday of Washington State versus Jared Goff in Cal 2014. Connor Holiday finished that game 49 of 70, 734 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. Jared Goff had 527 and 5 touchdowns, but 734 and 6 touchdowns. I mean, that's Washington State to a T, where they're just airing it out the entire time, but 734 yards, 6 touchdowns. And of course, that game, what time did it kick off at? 7:30. That's Pac-12 after dark right there.
That's
a classic Pac-12 after dark matchup.
I'll be honest, don't miss Pac-12 after dark. Got to be honest, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Pac-12 after dark, but I mean, sometimes every now and then you get a huge gem in there. We talk about great performances, and he had a bunch of them. I'm not sure if you remember the quarterback from Hawaii, Colt Brennan.
Oh yeah.
But he used to put up numbers like every week. Like it was the only time, besides my guy Alex Green, shout out to my man Alex, only time I would actually really turn on Hawaii football or try to actively find Hawaii football is to see Colt Brennan do crazy, crazy work out there.
All right, let's wrap up hour number one, move it to hour number two here on Sports Saturday. NFLPA team grades are out. Love looking at these because these are the players voting on their franchises in a bunch of different categories. And it's always fun to look at, you know, what teams get the best grades and if that has any correlation to their on-field success. But also, I just like to see what teams get really bad grades and stuff and make fun of them for it.
That's the best.
And then we're going to do a little AFC, NFC South preview in the second hour as well. But hour number two coming up of our maiden voyage on Saturday, Sports Saturday here on the Fan Sports Network.
Let's party.
Sports Saturday.
They storm the field at Autzen, and the Ducks win this bout.
With Joe Fisher.
Hell yeah, brother.
And Rashad Taylor.
I went a little too hard on the tequila last night.
Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
And it's intercepted at the goal line.
105.1 and 1080.
Unbelievable.
The Fan.
That's right, hour number two, Sports Saturday, here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, YouTube, the Odyssey app, Twitch. Now, I went and looked up, we were talking with our new engineer bro, Josh, the other day after our going away party for an employee.
Okay.
And we were talking about the YouTube audience that we have. And he's like, are you guys on Twitch also? And he's like, oh, you guys got to be on Twitch. And we're like, yeah, we are on Twitch. I was like, it's not quite the same audience as YouTube. I went and looked up. YouTube, we're just shy of 6,000 subscribers on the 105.1 The Fan YouTube page. On Twitch, 127.
Yeah. I mean, Twitch is for the kids. And I mean,
it's what I was saying.
Russ, do you have a Twitch?
No.
Do you have a Twitch, Jordan? Or Jordan. Joe?
I have a Twitch account, but I do not do any sort of streaming or watching anything on it.
I also have a Twitch account. It's, you know, really for gaming more than anything. And yeah, I don't ever really use it. Like, we need to use it more. We definitely need to use our Twitches more.
For the fan?
Just in general.
I think we're good.
I mean,
I'll stream some feet stuff on there, yeah, if people are, man, down for that.
I mean, that's a whole other website, bro.
Oh, yeah.
But
thanks for the sub.
I think you can really.
You want to see my pinky toe?
I think you can really make some money doing that, which is weird. But
if I get 10 subs, you will see my pinky toe.
There is somebody that will pay to see your feet, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%. For sure. Contemplated, man. It's a good source of some passive income right there. But we are on the YouTube. That's the cash cow right there, is on YouTube, the Odyssey app, and now on 105.1 FM. Unbelievable. Hey. All these years, we made it.
We did. Here we are.
Mama, we made it.
Thank you for rocking with us, too.
NFLPA, they're going through some not fun stuff with, like, people having to resign after stealing a bunch of money and just a whole bunch of legal issues right now that doesn't sound fun to talk about. What is fun to talk about is their 2025 report card. So they've been doing this for the last couple years now, where they essentially ask every player, 1,695 of their players, provided information to share with one another about their current club, to not only help them make important career decisions, but also help raise standards across the league. So they grade every team based off of treatment of families, food and dining area, nutritious dietitian, locker room, training staff, weight room, strength coaches, team travel, head coach, and ownership.
Okay. So can I guess the teams that have the lowest grades?
Yeah, you definitely can. I mean, which category? Do you want to go?
Let's start with head coach.
Head coach. All right. Who has the lowest score for head coaches?
I'm gonna go with Cleveland.
Cleveland is the third. Which I don't know if, I mean, is exactly fair, because I feel like Kevin Stefanski is probably the best head coach they've had over the last like 25 years. But they are tied for last with a C grade at head coach. Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna say Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. And that's not even fair. The dude hasn't even coached one game.
And that's the only reason why. And that's the only reason why is because you can't give somebody a high grade if you don't know what they're capable of doing. So
Jags,
I totally
head
that.
Coach Liam Cohen coming over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was going to say, use that same philosophy, that same standard, and you could maybe guess what the other team is on here with the lowest.
Yeah, grade. I'm trying, and I'm looking at all my teams. I'm going to say the Cowboys.
No.
Really?
How dare you?
Actually, you know why I dare.
Hey, Dallas Cowboys head coach got an A, baby.
No way.
Yes. Brian Schottenheimer's already winning over the locker
already,
room.
Already,
right?
I can tell this is flawed.
Hell yeah, brother.
This is flawed already. Remember how angry people were that Shotty was hired in the place? Now he's an A? Like, okay.
That's an A hire right there.
I guess the other team I would probably say would be, I'm going to say the Jets.
No, it is not the Jets. Got a B. The other one, and this was interesting because he was one of the bigger names in the coaching carousel, and that was Ben Johnson, new Chicago Bears head coach coming over from the Detroit Lions.
I was going to say Bears, but I figured because it was Ben Johnson, like, and they would probably give the benefit of the doubt, but I guess not.
There was only one team who got at least an A in every single category. Not even an A-, at least an A in every single
category. Was it the Chiefs?
It was not the Chiefs, no. The Chiefs, actually, their owners are known for being some cheap asses, honestly. So, like, they don't...
Okay, so I have to
think
about
normally
who the best
don't
owner
get,
is.
Like, amazing grades in some of the categories. Like, their locker room is a D-. Treatment of families is a B-, a C- for their training room, C+ for weight room, C for training staff, ownership, C-. So, but there was one team that got A's across the board.
Wow.
And I bet I could give you three guesses and you would not guess the team.
Okay, well, let's see.
Well, give me three guesses, Rashad. Damn it.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were gonna give me hints. Okay, my bad.
No.
All right, well, I'm gonna say,
based off of what you know about these franchises in the NFL,
Okay.
Who you think it could be.
Okay. I'm going to say the first one, I'm going to say Philadelphia Eagles.
It is not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
So they got some they got some decent grades around. They got an F in team travel, though. As far as their travel logistics for the team.
And I'm thinking about great. And I'm thinking about great ownership, too. And I'm thinking about great facilities and stuff. Denver?
Denver. It was not Denver, but they got some decent grades in there here in a little bit. A owner, A for team travel, A minus for nutritionist, dietitian. They got an F for their locker room.
Really?
Yep. Okay. So those are...
That's weird.
So you went Chiefs, you went Eagles, you went Denver Broncos. No, the one team that got at least an A in every single category, the Miami Dolphins.
Wow. Not surprising.
Really?
Oddly enough, not only because I'm thinking about like the stadium and the facilities and the fact that it's in Miami and all these things. And so I'm like, okay, I could see that.
Well, even like what was shocking to me was their owner.
I would have said Tampa Bay as well.
Their owner got an A+, and Stephen Ross is kind of a boob. Like he is like not one. I thought he was one of the worst owners in the league. Like, well known, but I guess the players absolutely love him.
Yeah, and when you start turning, remember Miami was an S show for a long time, and they're really just kind of recently starting to get back to playing some good football over the past like 4 or 5 seasons, and so that can change things for people as well.
Someone on the text line said that these survey results were taken last season. They think that they were taken last season, so like the Bears and Jags are grading the coaches who got fired, not the new ones. That makes a bit more sense because those were two teams that fired their head coaches last year, and Doug Peterson and Matt Eberflus.
Okay.
Matt Eberflus, new Dallas Cowboys defensive coordinator. Matt Eberflus, baby. Let's go.
You guys are really going for it this year, huh, Cowboys?
Listen,
let's go.
Listen, I've gotten over the offseason doldrums, and now that we're a couple weeks from the season, I am fully back into I think this could be our year.
Feeling good. Hey, man, things change real quick.
You know what? I think I like what we got out there.
I'm concerned about what you guys are doing with Micah Parsons. That's a concern. He's clearly concerned. He got his new braces on, so clearly these got to be paid for somehow. Like, run the
braces
check.
Braces ain't cheap.
CTC, man, cut the check.
We'll
take him.
I'm sure you would. Every team would take
Micah Parsons. Yeah, so do right by him, Dallas. Don't be stupid.
Atlanta Falcons got really good grades across the board. They had A's in every single category except two, where they had a B+ and a B for team travel and training room.
I'm curious what all of the teams that play in domes, what their grades are.
What they're working with?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Arizona Cardinals, they got a lot of bad grades.
Shocker.
That's one of the cheaper franchises in the NFL also.
You talk about a franchise that really, I don't think ownership really cares about the Cardinals and what they do.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like they really care about what that franchise is doing right now.
The only team where their owner got an F, and it makes 100% sense.
Green Bay?
No. They don't have an owner.
Well, that's why we get an F.
they got an incomplete.
Oh, okay.
The Jets got an F, which Woody Johnson, yes, and his son in the locker room doing dumb stuff, like that 100% makes sense that the Jets got an F in ownership. Steelers got a D. Your boy, Robert Kraft, got a D.
That's ridiculous, but okay. No one agrees with that. That's
hate.
How dare
you? Yeah. He is a pioneer. Right?
He is, man.
Cardinals D-, Panthers D-. The one that I'm somewhat always curious about is the food and dining area. Like, who's got the food just dialed in? Because I feel like being an NFL franchise, like, the world is your oyster. You have a ton of money. You have a billionaire owner. Like,
I can already guess who probably has the best.
Well, it's a team I already said. It was the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah.
They got an A+.
I figure Miami. I figure Atlanta. Maybe New Orleans.
Atlanta's up there with an A. New Orleans, that'd be nice. But they are, scrolling. New Orleans is second to last.
Wow. That's surprising.
Well,
that's surprising.
Oil-covered shrimp down there that they have to eat. Like, I had a shrimp po' boy the other day, though. Fantastic.
Listen, have you had the
oh my god,
what was the place? Montage used to be awesome. Well, there's still like a Montage cart.
It was, that's what it was.
Yeah, man, get the gator.
Oh my god.
Yeah, try the gator.
The Gator?
The Gator po' boy. Mm-hmm. Really good.
Bengals are like across the board terrible. Bad food, bad treatment of family. They got an F minus for treatment of families. That one, I feel like if you want to piss your players off quickly, treat their families like crap. Listen,
most things that have ever gone wrong with like pre-agency or something like that was around family, right? And so I remember when, and this is a basketball related thing, but remember when Tim Duncan was going to go sign with the Magic? And nobody remembers this. Like he was about to go sign with the Magic, and then I think Doc Rivers told them like, "Oh man, we don't travel with family on the plane." Man, if that's all you got to do to get Tim Duncan is let his wife or his kid get on the plane with the team for,
yeah,
absolutely. Like, I'll buy you your own plane, Tim. You can do whatever you need to do, bro. So yeah, that treatment of family is incredibly important.
Yeah. So if you are getting an F minus, Cincinnati Bengals or the Jaguars got an F. This is a bizarre one. The Los Angeles Rams got a D in that category. It's like
that's treatment of family.
Yeah. Now, granted, you're in LA.
That's sure shocking.
I'm sure there are some bougie families that are asking for a lot.
Yeah, and that's why it's the ask of being in LA and stuff like that. It's the ask of being. I'm not sure what the Raiders' treatment of family looks like, but moving to Vegas, I'm sure that probably changed some things for them.
Raiders got a B plus in that.
Okay.
Which, from my understanding, is that Davis Bro, that there's owner, is actually like a pretty decent dude. It's just he can't hire the right people in the football room. But my understanding is like his, you know, him running the franchise and his like temperament, I guess, if you will, is that he is not like his old man and that he actually does a pretty decent job as far as being like,
and it sounds like people are excited. You
got an A in the ownership category.
I was about to say, it sounds like people are excited-ish about what Pete Carroll is going to do with that Raiders team. So we'll see.
Well, and the Raiders, they were another team that they almost got an A, at least an A minus in every category outside of treatment of families, which got a B plus.
So. Stadium is awesome. If you've never been to Allegiant, man, it is an awesome stadium.
All right, let's take a break. Let's start previewing some divisions, baby.
Let's do it.
Let's go over to the AFC South. We got the Jags, we got the Texans, we got the Colts, and we have the,
AFC South. We're doing the South, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the 14? Yeah.
Jags?
I said the Jags. Jags, Titans. Texans, Colts.
Titans.
Well, that's definitely a forgettable franchise.
Yeah, for sure. We don't expect much from the Titans.
This is why we're getting them out of the way first.
Not yet,
okay?
At least. We don't expect much from them yet, but they got a young man that's probably going to make us notice them in a little while.
We'll go AFC South first, then we'll go NFC South here in the second hour on Sports Saturday on 105.1 The Fan. Sports Saturday here on The Fan. Well, color me intrigued. Text line. Someone said, if you've seen Mark Davis's girlfriend, you'd understand how you can relate to players in their 20s. Well,
okay.
All right,
he is the owner of a Las Vegas franchise. So
I'm doing a quick Google here. Yeah. Good for you, Mark Davis. Good for you. And I'm sure she's in for it because of the personality.
She has to be.
Personality.
And the haircut.
And physical attractiveness.
Yeah.
That haircut. Yeah. Yeah.
You pumpkin pie haircutted freak. Yeah. Yeah, that's what he looks like. He looks like Lloyd Christmas.
You know what he needs? He needs a black barber is what he needs.
Hey, I got a couple. I'll hook you up. Hook you up. I think all of you guys should see one. If you want the Travis Kelce cut, I got somebody that can give that to you.
I love this line. 69-year-old Raiders owner says his 26-year-old girlfriend didn't know he was a billionaire, and she was just attracted to his smile.
Right. I had no idea. She didn't Google you at all. Yeah, that's, hey.
Whoo!
Yeah, well, that's awesome that she's in it for the personality.
Yeah, that's just a good old American love story there.
I'm sure Belichick's girlfriend is the same thing. Like, he's super funny.
Can you imagine if she was just dialed in, like, football-wise? Like, they're, like, going over, like, the All-22 film, and she's just like, no, Bill, see.
Yeah, we're weak on the left side. Yeah. You have to... We've got a double.
If you're running a 3-4 defense, you have to make sure that your second, that line of linebackers, had, like just going deep into it.
That would be awesome if that were the case. I doubt it.
I love it when you talk cover two.
Yeah, I doubt it. But yeah, I don't know what they talk about, like scrunchies or, you know, what do you talk about?
Laboo-boos.
With a 24 year old. Seriously, if you're a 78-year-old man. What? How old is Belichick? He's pretty old. He's an old dude.
Yeah.
He's getting up old. To his 70s at this
point. I think he is 70.
You have nothing in common with this young woman. Let's just be 100% honest.
He's 73.
The only thing y'all have in common is the fact that you have money. She likes money. And ipso facto, you guys can be together because of it. So that's what it is.
All right. NFL stuff, eh?
Let's do it.
AFC South this year. The team who won the division last year is the team who has won it the last 2 years, and that is the Houston Texans, the Indianapolis Colts with a disappointing season, the Jaguars with a disappointing season, and the Titans with a season. Is there a chance that any one of those three teams can usurp the Houston Texans this upcoming season? Because, quite frankly, I think this is three in a row for Texans as far as winning the division.
Yeah, no, it should be the Texans. The only team that probably could sneak up on people is the Titans. And the only reason I say that, here's the only reason I say that.
Are you sure about that, bud?
No, the only reason I say that is because there is no NFL film right now on Cam Ward. And so you have a team that's projected to be bad, so they probably, I haven't seen their schedule yet, but I assume it's pretty favorable considering that they had a 3-9 record last year.
Finish the season, please.
No, yeah. So it was one of those things like they were worse than 3-9, but they weren't a very good team, which is why they landed the number one draft pick. And sometimes we know if you don't have a winning season, you get a pretty favorable schedule. Let me pull up their schedule.
Well, I will tell you that across the board in every sports book, they have the worst odds to win the AFC South.
And the only reason I'm saying that because I don't trust the Colts and Anthony Richardson at this point. Like him tap coming out of the game because he was quote unquote tired last season was I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback do that.
Unforgivable.
Yeah, honestly, it was kind of weird. As a leader, like that was kind of weird. Oh. And I really like Anthony Richardson. And so that was a weird thing to do. But I'm looking at
weird is putting it lightly.
No, I can't say what I really want to say because we're on radio, but that was super strange and it showed me like kind of a lack of heart. And as my quarterback, that's not what I need from you.
Dude.
Like I can't do that. But I'm looking at the schedule and
Bronco, I ain't even gonna lie, I was tired. The way he admitted it, too. There's part in the moment where I was just like, well, damn, what? I appreciate the honesty, but...
No, but what?
I think you just need to lie right there, dude.
Seriously, you know how far he slipped down everybody's fantasy board just from that line? I got tired. What? You for real? No, I think I'm kind of off him as a leader, but yeah, I'm looking at their schedule if you're the Titans, and I mean, it's not as easy as it sounds. He starts with the Broncos, Rams, Colts. Two or three of those games are going to be, you know, pretty tough for you to win. But then you've got the Cardinals and some other teams. So there is some opportunity for them to upset some folks, but probably not going to happen.
Titans, 5.5 is their over-under win total. The Colts are at 7.5, as are the Jaguars at 7.5. And then the Texans are at 9.5 for over-under win totals. Listen, there are some intriguing aspects about this division, especially with the Jaguars now getting Liam Cohen, offensive-minded young head coach, coming over from the Buccaneers after, you know, back-to-back years of the Buccaneers having great offenses. I mean, first it was Brian Canales, the OC, and he went over to Carolina as a head coach. And then it's like, all right, you're losing your OC who just had a great offensive season. Then Liam Cohen steps in for the Buccaneers, and he's like, oh, we're just going to have another great offensive season, and he gets a job out of it. So I'm intrigued to see what the Jags look like with Trevor Lawrence getting probably paid more than he has shown that he deserves at this point, and what Liam Cohen and that team's going to do, and then obviously with the Travis Hunter aspect, what that team is going to look like, you know, whether they're using him on both sides of the ball or if he just becomes a main receiver weapon. Or I personally think you need to have him at corner full time.
They need corners. They need
their secondary was putrid ends. Last
like
year.
They weren't very good at those two particular positions. I don't think they're great at receiver, but I don't know if Travis Hunter, I think he would be a better defender than he would be a receiver at this point.
They got Brian Thomas. He was a rookie last year out of LSU, and he had a great season his first year with the Jaguars. Like, he was one of the I think he was still a first-round pick, but, yeah, he had a phenomenal first year with the Jaguars. So that's why I'm intrigued to see, like, if I'm going to go any team to be able to take down the Texans this year, I'm going to go with the Jags, and I think I had the Jaguars winning the division last year, and that did not work out, clearly.
It never really does for anyone.
I feel like that's a death wish right there.
I think it's Trevor Lawrence has his gas. Like, I mean, we got to talk about when enough is enough and when we're going to stop, you know, kind of vaulting Trevor Lawrence as this guy. Maybe he's just not, you know, like, I think he really has his job cut out for him. In Jacksonville this year, but it's been a long time. This is year six for Trevor? Five?
I think five.
Yeah, year five, and still very little production to really show for it. So I think that's the part for me. It's like, man, I think I have faith in Trevor Lawrence. At least I have had faith in Trevor Lawrence. Like, at this point, we need to see it. You know, like, everything that this team does is based off of what Trevor Lawrence is able to do. So, you know, Liam Cohen has his work cut out for him, because he's got to try to figure out a way to make this young man a winning quarterback. And that's what he hasn't been at this point. We all see the skill, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't been a winning quarterback.
Yeah, just the consistent performance throughout the season. Stay upright, stay healthy, give us a full season of more than just productive football.
More than just beautiful hair.
Yeah, you got to...
Marsha. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, you gotta make a jump this year. And then as far as the Texans go, I know that they won the division last year, but it was not a pretty year for the Texans.
It was,
you know, and they ended up getting the playoff win against the Chargers, where they picked off Justin Herbert four times. So that might have put some lipstick on the pig there. But it was not like a season... Like 2 years ago, when the Texans came out of nowhere, CJ Stroud's rookie year, I think they took a step back last year. So to kind of right the ship, D'Amico Ryans has got to get that team kind of looking how they did 2 years ago versus last year, because it was an odd year for them, even though they ended up winning the division and getting a playoff.
And that was kind of why I mentioned the Titans as potentially being one of those teams that can come out of nowhere, because that year that the Texans came out of nowhere, no one was expecting that. That was supposed to be the Jaguars' year to be able to come in and kind of put their stamp on being in charge of the AFC South at that point. And they really couldn't do it, because all of a sudden this young startup and CJ Stroud and the Texans came out of nowhere. And so that's the only reason that nobody knew what to expect from him. I think at this point nobody really knows what to expect from Cam Ward. You know, he's talented, but how far can he really take you? And then you look at what Jaden Daniels, you know, did in Washington. Again, who was expecting the Commanders to be anywhere near the top of the NFC East?
Yeah.
No one.
Well, and I think that's, you know, maybe something we do here in the next couple of weeks is look at the teams that missed the playoffs that we want to bet on or bank on making the playoffs this year. Because, I mean, it happens every year. There's teams that don't go back and they, revert back to a bad season, or a team that plays above their, above what people are expecting and do make the playoffs. So, I think that, like, last year was the Denver Broncos. Like, no one saw that coming. I think that's something maybe we would do in the next couple weeks. Let's take a break and jump over to the NFC South here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network. But first, Jeff Russ with Sports Center Update. Doing a little bit of NFL divisional previews here on Sports Saturday.
Love it.
Our first show on Saturday after doing Sundays for all those years.
How do you like it so far?
It feels the same.
Does it?
It you know, once we kind of do this and get in our element, it's definitely the same. I think as the day goes on and then waking up tomorrow and doing this a few more times, it will start to feel a little different. But I don't know, man. We just show up, you know, turn the mics on, flip them on, and do our thing. And
it just, will be nice to sleep in just for a little bit tomorrow. I don't get a chance to sleep in on Sunday. I haven't slept in on a Sunday in 11 years.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, sleeping in on a Sunday. I mean, like, unless there's something off or something like that.
Yeah, unless it's a holiday like we had, you know, a couple weeks ago, to where everybody's going to be gone for the weekend. Like, yeah, I don't think I've slept in for a long time on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that.
NFC South. Last year, it was the Buccaneers that won that division. Their offense has been on point the last few years.
Baker Mayfield, man, knows how to play football.
I love Baker, dude.
He's grown on me.
Yeah, I'm just so glad. Like, I wanted him to be successful in Cleveland because it seemed like he was getting some unnecessary hate out there, and played well, got them to the playoffs, got them a playoff win. And then it seemed like his career was just about to, like, go down the drain. Then went to Carolina and went to the Rams for half the season. I feel like there's another team in there that I'm forgetting that he was at. But
yeah, Baker was one of those guys. He kind of had some FU in him, you know?
Like, which I love.
Yeah, but I think he rubbed a lot of people wrong, you know, coming off of a Heisman and all these things that you were able to do in college. And I think by the time he got to the NFL, like, he was kind of a D-bag. And I think people just kind of were turned off by that. And if I'm being honest, he had to be humbled a little bit. And playing for the Panthers will absolutely humble you. I just think it's just one of those places that it's like football purgatory. You get sent there and pretty much your career is over. And then usually careers are much better after you leave Carolina, unless you're Cam Newton. But for the most part, like, yeah, I think that was the big thing for him. So I think he had to humble himself and really come with a different mindset. And since he's done that, like, he's been the leader in that locker room, and he's been really a – he's been a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion, in the NFL over the last two seasons.
Well, I fully expect the Buccaneers to win this division again. I think that they've been adding some young pieces offensively to an aging receiving core in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, who Chris Godwin is coming off of a terrible injury from last year. So kind of see where he goes from here. But they added Jalen McMillan out of Washington in last year's draft. They added Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State in this year's draft. I mean, Bucky Irving is going into year two after a breakout rookie season with them. There is no reason why the Buccaneers should take a dip after losing, you know, Liam Cohen, their offensive coordinator. But again, it kind of seems like plug and play for them at offensive coordinator. It's like, oh, we lost Brian Canales. All right, here, Liam Cohen, can you take over? Oh, we lost Liam Cohen. All right, Josh Grizzard is now our OC and is just going to be able to fill the gap here. So yeah, I fully expect the Bucs to win this division, and it's kind of what it was last year, is that the only other team that I feel can compete with them and maybe push them for the division crown is the Atlanta Falcons. But we're going to get a full season out of Michael Penix, and who knows what that looks like. It got a lot better in his tenure, his stretch last season when he got put in as the starter. I think as the season went along, he got more comfortable, caught the speed, and I hate Michael Penix for being a Husky, but that dude can play quarterback. That dude really has pocket presence, and he can put it, he can drop it in the bucket, put it on a dot. Like, he just has this knack of how to throw the ball. And so I expect the Falcons to be better than they were offensively, and him to be better and just get another year under his belt. I mean, the Falcons, I feel like they definitely could make things interesting in this division.
For sure. I think Michael Penix had a great opportunity to learn under a really good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. You know, he had an opportunity for a year. Now, mind you, it wasn't the year that Kirk Cousins was looking for, but hoping for, but he was never negative. And I don't know if you've been watching quarterbacks at all, if you've seen the new season.
I've been trying to watch it with the boy and coordinate that, and I got to get him off that damn Rocket League.
Well, good luck with that, man. But Kirk Cousins, man, I love his outlook on stuff. I love his disposition. He's just kind of like, he understands how blessed he is to play football and all these things. Obviously, he's a competitor and wants to play, but it's just kind of one of those things. But either way, Michael Penix Jr. had an opportunity to learn from a really consistent quarterback in the NFL, and now he gets to go out there. And mind you, remember, he was an older player coming into the league. Like, he was already, what, 25 right. when he was drafted?
Something Penix?
Like
that? Yeah, yeah, it was 24, 25.
Yeah, 24, yeah. 25. So you're talking about somebody who is a man, you know, at this point, and knows how to read a playbook and knows how to study. And so I'm looking forward to see what he's able to do with this team, with, you know, guys like Drake London, some other folks. Like, this could be a really, really good squad for them. So I think this is the only team that really can kind of compete with Tampa Bay up top. So, I mean, if Tampa Bay doesn't win, then I think it would be the Falcons that walked away in this division.
I mean, the Saints, they're going into year one of the Kellen Moore era. I mean, I don't even know who they're going to have a quarterback. I mean, if it's going to be Spencer Rattler or Tyler Shuck.
Either way, it's a winner, right?
Jake Haner, the former Fresno State kid. I don't know if they even have Spencer Rattler anymore, honestly, but pray to God they don't. Because they need someone competent at quarterback. And maybe it is Tyler Shuck, former Oregon Duck, who transferred to Texas Tech and finished out his career there. But honestly, what I would like to see in this division, I would like to just see the Panthers be a little bit better and a little bit more competitive. I thought that they made a little bit of a jump from being complete rollover easy W's to being a little bit more of a competitive team last year. I don't know. I would like to see something finally click for Bryce Young in this roster. They got a new wide receiver in the draft, Tetaro McMillan, who some people are saying is the next Mike Evans. You know,
those are big shoes to fill, but okay.
Yeah. And is their defense going to be better? I would just like to see the Panthers make things a little bit interesting, because if they, I mean, how many more years? I mean, you're going to go into year three of Bryce Young. He just got benched last year at one point. How much longer are you going to roll on that train for until you start thinking about the future there? I mean, would it take a 7-win season for them to be like, you know what, let's keep this going? Would it take six? Like, if they go 6-11, like, are they going to be happy about that? That will be an interesting scenario to look at in Carolina to see how that plays out as far as their on-field performance, the context behind it. You know, is it a defensive problem? Is it, you know, offense? Is Bryce Young just not the guy? Not it. That will be an intriguing aspect of this division and that team in particular.
And if you're Carolina, you have to think about, if Bryce Young isn't the guy, is Andy Dalton? Is that the direction you want to go?
At least for the rest of the season, you know, what you'd have to do.
And yes, Tyler Shuck is projected, as far as ESPN's depth chart, is projected to be the starter in Carolina, or excuse me, in New Orleans this year. But yeah, if you're Carolina, all you can do is just go out there and play. Nobody expects anything of you, so you're really playing with house money at this point. So try to make something happen. Look, you really kind of bolstered that receiving core. What's my country boy's name? I can never say his last name right. Right. Xavier
Leggett.
Leggett. Yeah, man. I love him. I love listening to his
interviews.
I don't know what the hell he's saying, but it don't matter. I'm listening and I feel motivated with that. And so you add in McMillan with him. All of a sudden it looks like Bryce Young has some targets. Does he have protection though? And I think that's the biggest part. Like, do you have somebody that's going to be able to make sure you can stay off your back and be able to throw the ball? So
that'll be great, man.
Hey, man, I love that. I love that kid. He's somebody who just loves to play football. You can tell. So they've got some guys on their team that could be a big thing. We just have to see how patient they're going to be, like you were saying, Joe, about Bryce Young. And this has to be a year that they get seven wins. I think honestly, what they win last year, like four, three?
The Panthers?
Yeah.
I think they were around that range because they had to give up their pick to the Chicago Bears. So I think they finished around that 5-12, 4-13 mark from last season.
So if you win seven games this year,
5-12.
You win seven games this year, I think that puts you in good shape to be able to kind of start keep building this young roster, because Bryce Young is still very young. This is what, year four? For him?
This is year three.
Year three. So he's still very young. I think too young to punt on his career.
Well, and my God, I'm looking at it. Carolina's defense, give him some help, because they were the only team to give up more than 500 points last season. They gave up 534 across the...
That's insane.
Yeah, that's it's too much.
And when you don't have
closest
line to block for you, like, you're not going to score any points.
The next closest was my Dallas Cowboys, who gave up 468 points, so... And then the Titans at 460. But, yeah, I mean, divisional odds, Buccaneers, they have the best. Falcons second, Panthers third, and then the Saints a distant, distant fourth there.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap things up here for our first Sports Saturday right here on the Fan Sports Network. That's right. Get with it or get lost.
Who's back?
But don't get lost, because
please stay.
We'll take any ratings that we can get. Yeah, someone says being the lead in to Ducks football is going to be fun, guys. Look forward to hearing you.
Thank you so much. It should be fun.
Getting here during college football season and cracking the mics as the 9 a.m. games are getting started, that's going to be fun.
It is.
I love college football Saturdays, and from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., there being wall-to-wall action all across the country. Can't get enough of it. It's one of my favorite times of year, just waking up at, you know, 8:30. Now that will be different.
No, you're right. Forth,
but just rolling out of bed and, you know, getting some breakfast made, or just sitting there and watching the old game day, and then the games start at 9 a.m. I'm like, dude, let's do this.
That's awesome. This is where living on the West Coast is great, right? Because, you know, usually if you live Midwest, wherever, like, those games start at noon, you know, for everybody for the most part. But here, we wake up at 9 a.m., turn to ABC, turn to CBS, whatever the case is, and boom, there's football for us to enjoy. I'm one of those weirdos that really, I'll start watching.
Imagine having to wait until noon.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
That's crazy. I couldn't do it. I'm glad I'm, you know, shout out to the West Coast. We get everything kind of earlier, you know.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
Hell yeah, brother.
That's how you do it. And the great thing about football on Saturday is, again, like you said, Joe, it's all day. And then if you do want to do something later on, like, you're able to do that, and then you wake up and it's Sunday and there's more football to watch. Like,
and imagine having to wait till 1 o'clock for football on Sunday.
10 o'clock. 10 o'clock is when football starts. Like, that's, I feel like it's un-American for football to start at just 1 o'clock.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I think every game should start at 10 a.m.
Well, and then some of those Sundays when you get that Europe game and it's dawn at 6:30 a.m. here, so you just wake up and turn on that TV and the boom.
Well, and what's funny is, like, yeah, that is, I'm sure there are people on the East Coast that are watching that game and it turns on at like 9:30 and they're like, wouldn't this be nice if football started this early? And they're like, yeah, it's called moving to the West Coast.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
I mean, can you imagine? West Coast. Seriously, yeah. You live in New York and you happen to be a Blazer fan or a Laker fan, and those games don't start until 7:30. You mean to tell me 10:30? I got to stay up till 10:30 to watch a basketball? Nah, I'm good. You know, so
I have always wanted, though, like, and this was more so when it was a Pac-12 and Pac-12 After Dark, like being over in New York or something and like going out late at night and coming home and there's still a football game on at
that
like
would be
one
cool.
in the morning.
You're wasted, come home, you got some vittles in front of you, and like, oh man, this
Oregon, oh my God, Oregon State
Oregon's still
is,
playing.
Oh God.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. If you're a diehard fan, yes, having football that late is awesome.
Well, we got only 4 more Saturdays left until college football season.
Can't wait, Bart Scott.
5 more Saturdays until NFL season. Yeah, I'd just get here. Just get here.
Yeah,
baby.
We're ready. It's been long enough.
Swing. Yes, very swing on that. She's a babe.
If she were a president, she'd be Babraham Lincoln.
Good call.
She was a body part. I can't say. I don't think I can say that one on air.
Probably not. Not on the Saturday.
Jeff Russ, thank you so much for coming in today.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you rolling with us on this first Sports Saturday. Rashad, thank you as always.
My man.
And thanks to all the listeners out there rolling with us on Sundays. You can now roll with us on Saturdays. And we will catch you next Saturday right here for Sports Saturday at 9 a.m. on the Fan Sports Network. Peace.